Welcome to the Teaching Journeys podcast, hosted by Dave Roberts. Humanity possesses a unique skill, the ability to pass knowledge from one generation to the next. This podcast embraces that ability, offering learning opportunities through conversations with extraordinary guests. Dave aims to leave a positive mark on individuals around the world. So before you dive into today's episode, please share this podcast with your network, including friends, family, and colleagues. And please consider leaving a rating or review. Your support makes all the difference.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts. And today, it is my pleasure to have as my guest, Sean McCrae, better known as Sean Frost. Sean is on a mission to help motivate and coach aspiring entrepreneurs, real estate broker, licensed custom home builder, property investor, ex-music producer, and now artist and label investor. Sean's learned a thing or two about how to be successful and how to make things happen. Best of all, it's learned. And that's right. And Sean's not going to stop if he can help anyone reach their goals and fulfill their potential. He's a life mentor who helps people take the next step in their lives, whatever that may be. Besides, as Sean puts it, life is way too short to waste it sitting on the sidelines. And amen to that, Sean. And with that, welcome to the Teaching Journeys podcast. It's a pleasure having you on the program today.
Thank you, Dave. Looking forward to the chat for sure.
And I've been looking forward to our chat for some time. Sean's team reached out to me, thought the mission of our podcast would be a good fit for him to share his journey and to share what he's doing to make a positive impact in, you know, in the world of entrepreneurs. We had a great pre-chat, and so here we are today.
Here we are.
So one of the things I wanted to ask you about, and I always share this, I always ask my guest contributors to share this, about the past experiences that have inspired you to do what you're doing now. So tell us about your past experiences that have gotten you to this point where your mission is to motivate aspiring entrepreneurs.
A great place to start, Dave. So I think for me, it started as a youth and ultimately from my parents. My parents went separate ways when I was at a young age. I've mentioned this throughout kind of my journey, but it was such a cool thing to be able to get. They stayed on with a good relationship. So it was very cool that I was able to get each one of my parents one-on-one and get undivided attention and get each of them for who they actually are as a person. And because they had a lot of similarities, but because they had so many differences in outlooks and not really work ethic, but just how they approach things, that's where it kind of started in terms of the entrepreneurial set for me. Because my mom was a 9-to-5, integrity, hardworking, and very well respected at her job. And my dad was hardworking, but he was a go-getter. He was never afraid to take a chance, take a risk. If it didn't work, well, then that's okay, because maybe the next opportunity would. I was very lucky to have that blended dynamic growing up. So that's kind of where the entrepreneurial spirit started for me, because my dad was an entrepreneur. So I adopted that, but then I was able to, like I said, get a lot of those really good characteristics from my mom and kind of combine them for the two. And it's not that I have an issue with authority or anything like that, but I did start producing music while I was in high school. So I started my first company when I was, you know, mid-teen kind of thing. I had other jobs while I was a kid. I was like, okay, well, like, I don't have a boss right now. I don't have anybody telling me what to do. Nobody's creating a schedule. But I also learned very quickly that if I don't remain consistent and relentless at whatever I'm doing, nothing's going to come from it. I think it was just being able to start at such an early age, and it was based on passion, of course, for music, that got the ball rolling for me.
Yeah, I mean, we could have another discussion about music, because even though I don't play music, I've never produced music, music has been an integral part of my journey. It's helped me through a lot of tough spots, and it's just also given me comfort. And I also just marvel at the musicianship of just so many diverse artists, and thinking to myself that, boy, I wish I could do that. I wish I could share how many fantasies I had playing air guitar with several bands. So, but that's for another discussion. It sounds like you had parents who were, even though the divorce was amicable, they got along and they co-parented. for your best interest, which I think is great because a lot of divorces don't end that way. And a lot of times the kids get stuck in the middle.
Yeah.
And as far as issues with authority or whatever, I think authority is meant to be challenged in a very constructive way, as long as we're not doing it in a way that's hurting ourselves or anybody else. And besides, conventional wisdom is highly overrated. And I think we need to kind of follow our own self-imposed moral code in terms of what's right, what's wrong, what's good for us. And we know ourselves better than I think anybody. And I think we need to trust that. And I suspect that in your work with aspiring entrepreneurs as a mentor, you try to get them to get in touch with their internal code and try to nourish that, empower them to achieve their goals based on their own self-determined values.
Yeah, you're 100% correct. And I think that goes along the lines of becoming an entrepreneur, right? Like if you want to be an entrepreneur, if you want to dictate how your business life is going to be conducted, at the end of the day, yeah, it's not about the authority. It's about betting on yourself. And I think as an entrepreneur, you have to have that self-belief, whether it's, you know, a success or a failure, and however you deem either of those, everybody's perspective on those are different. And that's a beautiful thing. But at the end of the day, that's the main focus that I always try to make sure that is instilled, or I try to determine if this person has that to begin with, because it's easy to talk about things. It's harder to do things, and it's easy to be excited about something before it gets going. And then it can get overwhelming once you get the ball rolling, right? Like to start things. The first thing is, you know, obviously mindset is the most important and most crucial. And right at the core of that is self-belief, because at the end of the day, you need to be accountable. You need to hold yourself accountable for the good and for the bad. You need to celebrate the wins, and you need to get the lessons from the quote unquote losses. And you have to believe in yourself to be able to navigate those waters throughout your journey.
We can talk about things, but if we talk about stuff and don't do anything, talk really is, I don't want to say baseless, but talk by itself isn't going to work. How do you get aspiring entrepreneurs from the talk phase to the action phase? And what are some of the obstacles that get in the way of individuals going from talk to action? What do you see as that in your practice?
Yeah. So the first part of that on how to get started. So everybody is different, of course, but I find, you know, being a visual learner, that's how I usually get started. So it's got to be a face-to-face. If I can, it's a face-to-face interaction with the individual. Of course, if I'm helping or working with somebody that's, you know, not where I am, it's a little bit more challenging. But thankfully, you know, for Zooms and Google Meet and, you know, all the good stuff, like we have options. But visually, the easiest thing is to put pen to paper. My personal favorite is using a Bristol board, right? Bigger is better for me. Also, my penmanship is not incredible by any means. So I like having a big Bristol board where I can kind of have fun with it. And my mind goes in 100 different directions. So that way I have room to branch out from maybe that center nucleus and branch off with these ideas. And I think that brainstorming session to start it's a good icebreaker, because it is still technically talk in a way, but we are actually doing an action. We are making an action item happen by putting pen to paper and transferring our thoughts onto the page and starting to kind of loosely organize things. And I think when you can branch out all these different tree branches into different ideas and different options, it also broadens the horizons of like what could be, and it might expand what the individual was thinking their end goal was in the first place. So it's like, this is where I'm starting, this is where I want to get to. But sometimes you don't think about the journey and what can happen in between. And then sometimes you actually just limit yourself on that end goal as well. And it's like, this is where I want to get to. And it's like, okay, but what about this, this, and this? Or I didn't even know that existed. And like, that's just as cool as this. It's not that big of a jump to get to the next spot. And it's like, well, no. And think about how much momentum we're going to have by the time you get to here. It's going to be really easy to get to that next jump because we just have to do this, this, and this. And then they're like, oh, okay, well, now it's not as overwhelming or as daunting as I thought it was 5 minutes ago. And I think also making sure that you relay that verbally to the individual and let them know that, by the way, what we're doing right now is actually a step. It's even past the first step of what we were going to be doing. Like, you know, thinking about it and talking about it is one thing, but now we're putting these on paper. We're actually a few steps into your process already. So when you say you're just getting started, it's a mind trick in the sense, because we know we're still just getting started, but we don't have to necessarily believe that. We could believe that we're already on our way at that point. The ball is already rolling. We're jotting these ideas down. let's start connecting the dots. And I always make it, one of my tactics is that when I get to a point in any business or an endeavor that I'm taking on, if I get to a point where I'm not really sure what the next step is, that's when I start working from like those brainstormed end goals. I start working my way back. And even if I can't meet that spot directly, I've narrowed the gap. And then I can start thinking from point, you know, E to F rather than E to R, right? Like it's because the dots are connected, I'm shortening that gap where the jump is a lot less than what it was previously. And that gives me that fuel and that motivation and optimism to keep going.
And, you know, I think the good thing about brainstorming is that everything's out on the table. The best brainstorming exercise I've been a part of is when the facilitator said, I don't want you thinking, just throw out the first thing that comes into your head. It's like primary process. Even if it's the most ridiculous thing that you believe that you're coming up with, put it out there anyway, because we could take a look at everything. We can decide how we're going to get from point A to point B. We can decide which points we're going to consolidate, which points we're going to prioritize as short-term or long-term objectives. And the other thing I like about brainstorming is that it requires you to trust your intuition and just go with the flow.
I agree. And especially if it's coming from a place of passion, right? And that's, I differ from, you know, I have my own sets that I believe in and things that I follow for my criteria. And passion-driven is at the forefront for me, where not necessarily for every other entrepreneur, it's driven by passion. It could be a monetary drive where you're looking to change the future by earnings, right? And by making a living. So I understand that. But I think on the brainstorming side, in my case, and I try to get that across, is that even if you're not diehard passionate about what idea you have, you do have to, you're in it for the long haul. So you do have to want to do what you're doing and enjoy the process of it, rather than just focusing on the end, because it's not going to be sustainable in my eyes. And I know that you could just go through it and have the right model and get to where you want to get to. That's just not how I operate. So for me, it's like, have that passion and that desire and make sure that you really want to be doing this. Because one, it also doesn't feel like work. If you're loving what you're doing, it doesn't feel like a job. And that's going to keep you consistent and keep that motivation and vibes high, so that you can obviously keep it sustainable, keep moving forward, and then also keep that compartment in your brain open where that could branch off to other opportunities and take you wherever you need to. And I use obviously as a real estate broker in my main focus, but even as an entrepreneur, I always split any idea or any business proposition that I'm giving myself down the middle. And one side is on the investment side, of course. Does it make sense financially? Are there earning opportunities? Is there a point to do this? And most importantly, the investment, is it worth my time and effort? Because of course, our most valuable resource is the time. But then the other side is the quality of life. While I'm going through this journey, how is this going to affect my daily quality of life now, presently? And ultimately down the journey, where could this lead? Like, where could this lead to? Like, what is my quality of life going to look like when I succeed? And you know, of course, the goal is to broaden your horizons and create more opportunities. But I always split it down the middle, where one side's the investment side, I would say, and the other side is the quality of life side.
Well, the other thing, if you're passionate about what the wisdom that you're imparting, I'm going to get excited because you're excited. And then once you've got me hooked in with your passion, then we can go over all the practical stuff. But I think there's a lot of individuals that may have a lot of more knowledge than another individual in a particular field, but if they lack passion, their knowledge is, to me, not going to bear fruit. I would rather have somebody who's passionate than somebody who just has all the technical knowledge and no passion.
Right. And that's what we're here for. We're here to learn, right? We're always learning. Like, you know, that's kind of the whole point of this, is that we always, you know, we're here for a good time, but we're here for a short time. So it's learn as much as possible, enjoy as much as possible, and obviously, you know, try to be a good person and pass on as much as possible.
I've always said, if we don't position ourselves as learners, it's going to be hard for us to be effective teachers.
For sure.
You have such a diverse background. That's one of the things that really impressed me about you, is just you've been involved in multiple categories in your life. So how does your diverse background, tell us how that informs your mentoring philosophy?
I think it does start again as the youth. You know, I grew up humble beginnings, lower class neighborhoods. So you get a lot of different walks of life. It was a nice melting pot growing up. So I felt like I was very culturally sound and educated from a young age. So I'm a people person by nature. I take great pride in being able to work with very, very diverse groups, people from all walks of life. I think having that interest in understanding how certain people tick, and also especially when people, you know, were not necessarily cut from the same cloth per se, like initially, I really like that, where I can mesh with somebody that's from a totally different situation or coming from a totally different world. And I think just being able to do that is kind of an important thing. Sorry, I lost the actual question there, Dave. What was the question?
Well, just basically how your diverse background informs your mentoring philosophy.
Right. So, and it, again, it starts with the passion on that flex. So, you know, started as a music producer. My dad's he's a singer. Growing up, we didn't have a lot, but, you know, I was with my dad every Wednesday, every second weekend. But his best friend was a sound man, a touring sound engineer. So anytime he would come to town with whichever band he was working with, I was backstage, hopping on a tour bus, a lot of really, really cool experiences. And I think from the music, kind of growing up in the neighborhood I grew up in, to getting into the music and having that hustler's mentality really set me up to bet on myself, like I said, and I don't worry about how I'm getting perceived from the outside looking in when it comes to business, especially. So if things don't work out, it's like, okay, I tried my best. And if it didn't work, why didn't it work? Let's decipher this and let's learn from it, grab the things that work, and then, you know, utilize those on the next thing. Or if I feel like it didn't work for a reason, but there's still an avenue there, well, then I just go back and start kicking down the door with the lessons that I just learned. And I think that philosophy throughout my whole life is what's helping me now with the mentorship stuff, because people are really worried about how they're perceived. And they're also internally worried about, you know, quote unquote, failing. And people put failing as like, oh, something didn't work. Well, that's the furthest thing from a failure, right? Like it's expected. If you got everything, if you got everything on the first try, well, where's the fun in that? Like, you know, if you're a rookie coming into a sports league and you join a championship team and you win championships throughout your career nonstop, it's like, well, that's amazing. Like, of course, you're not going to have a knock against that if you're in that position. But if you put me as a rookie coming into a league onto a professional sports team and we're at, you know, say bottom of the league, and then third or fourth year in, we're making the playoffs, and then fifth year in, I'm winning a championship, I'm going to take choice B because that's who I am. I want to go through the trenches. I want to progress. I want to see improvement. I want to really feel that journey, and I want to be able to reflect on the things that didn't go that well, because me personally, I'm going to appreciate the wins that much more. And it's just going to stand out that much more to me. Like I said, I'm still learning. So the things that I don't get right, I'm very hard on myself, especially initially, but then I talk myself through it, take a breath, take some time, and then harness that energy and put it to the positive and push through. So that's the diverse backgrounds. They've always just been connected because, again, they're all driven by passion. And there's a lot of similarities in all the businesses that I have.
Yeah, and you mentioned the sports teams. And a lot of times, I think it's a five-year project for most sports teams to get to kind of like from the bottom of the barrel to the top of the heap. But I think when you get to the top, you also remember the obstacles that you had to overcome to get there. It keeps you humble, and it keeps you from falling off a pedestal. Because as you know, Sean, once a person falls off a pedestal, the fall is usually very steep and it's very hard to get back up again. So it's always good to remember where you came from. It keeps you humble and it also keeps you hungry, I think.
That's right. Humble, hungry, and keeps that ego in check, right?
You got it.
Yeah.
And the other thing I can imagine, as an ex-music producer, you probably worked with some very interesting personalities. You probably learned to develop patience as well. That has led into your mentoring philosophy as well.
For sure. So I'm actually still producing. So I'm still working with artists. I'm still creating music. I did take a big break, but I'm back at it. One thing in terms of the patience was being the sound engineer. So when I ran a studio back in the day, that's when patience was a virtue for sure. And again, it's not to put anybody down or knock anybody, because again, they're following their passions and they're trying to make something work. And I've got all the time in the world for anybody that's putting in the work, like the real work to do it. But of course, you do get those scenarios where it's like, you know, when you used to watch American Idol and it was like, you know, the first episodes where you're getting, you know, Simon or whatnot, like, you know, waving people out of the room. Like, you know, there were definitely sessions, many, many sessions in my life where you're going in optimistic and leaving with like a severe headache. And, you know, that's a physical thing. So that was where the patience ran out. It's like, okay, like I'm passionate about this and the money is great, but I'm physically leaving. I'm leaving in worse shape, in worse condition than I was going in. So I'm like, that investment, quality of life investment, is not worth it because I'm leaving with a headache, or I'm, you know, like I'm, that doesn't work for me. So then closed down the studio and just focused on music production and working with artists. And the second part of what you were mentioning, Dave, is like, yes, working with artists to this day, patience is not always easy to come by. And you try to put yourself in somebody else's shoes to understand where they're coming from, especially as a creative, as an artist, like, you know, it's a totally different dynamic. So you try your best to relate and understand, but there are definitely challenging times where you just can't fathom why things are being done the way they are being done. But you have to make sure that you understand that you put yourself in that position, and you have to either trust the process or do something about it. It's not somebody else's. You got to take accountability. It's never somebody else's issue. It has to be, listen, this didn't work out and this might be the reason why, but I put myself in that position to end up where I'm at, not somebody else. Nobody else did something that got me here. It's like, this happened, but at the end of the day, you have to be accountable. And same goes for when you get a win. I think it's super, super important. One of my go-tos in mentoring is that you need to celebrate the win. So it doesn't even matter how small of a win it is. Anything that you're feeling really, really good about, celebrate that. And that doesn't mean going out and buying a Ferrari if you get your website launched for your new business. But that does mean, you know, what are you into? Like, what's your favorite snack? What it can be super, super small, but whatever it is, keep that focus on when you're enjoying that treat. Know that it came from your hard work and your passion that is fueling wherever you want to get to. And I think that's a really important thing, because too often we focus on the negatives and we dwell on the things that didn't go right. And then when things go right, we take it for granted and then we're focused on the next step. And it's like, cool, use the momentum and keep going, but don't get lost in the sauce where you need to understand that what you're doing is a good thing and you're on the right track. Reward yourself for it.
Absolutely. You know, and progress is never linear. Especially when you're looking at self-improvement, there's going to be stops, there's going to be starts, but you look at the stops as information in terms of what you can learn from that to move forward, and the starts you celebrate. Again, like I said, even if it's just rewarding yourself with your favorite food, a favorite movie, buying a specific streaming service that you've had your eye on for whatever that may be. And that's obviously very much of an individual choice, but what reinforces people to change their behaviors is different for everybody, but we just have to find the sweet spot.
That's right.
And then nurture that. Besides passion and honesty, if I were to contract for your services and I wanted you to mentor me, what else could I expect from you and what would you expect from me?
So in terms of the mentorship, well, I think, you know, you mentioned honesty, but that is a big one. And work ethic, of course, is probably the other one. You need to be relentless. And yeah, so if I'm working with somebody, I need to know that they're going to go all in. And that doesn't mean emptying out your bank account. It just means you have to give it 120% at whatever you want to do. And of course, your life is also going on at the same time. Everything else that you've got going on. And I think I have a good understanding about that, because we never know what somebody's going through. So, you know, and that doesn't necessarily mean a bad thing. That could be great things as well, but people are busy. And we, in my opinion, we should be busy, you know, and that doesn't necessarily just translate to the job market and work. I just feel like we should be doing things that we enjoy. If you're sitting on a beach, well, that is doing something that you enjoy. That's not doing nothing. That's still doing something. If I'm working with somebody, obviously, we need to mesh. We need to connect well, have a good flow of communication. We need to get ourselves on the same page. Even if, you know, we're different people, that's okay. But it does need to feel organic. It can't feel forced. Because the other thing is, Dave, I don't charge. Like, I don't charge for mentoring services. So I am choosy on the mentorship side. It's always coming from a character base first. and how I feel about, you know, not as a judgment, but how I feel about the individual in terms of like, are they going to do what's required to get them to where they need to go? Because at the end of the day, it's going to be about them. As soon as the baton's passed off and we're done working together, I want them to succeed. I don't want them to wait. I don't even want to say waste, but I don't want to, you know, make the choice on my end to spend a certain amount of time and effort on something only for me to turn around. And then it's like, okay, well, not only did I just, you know, quote unquote, waste time that I could have been spending on my stuff or with my family, but that's also another opportunity for somebody else that's really, really hungry that may not be getting it, that may have been overlooked, that I could have maybe made the decision to work with somebody else. Because I don't flood my plate because, again, time is of the essence for me. I do have multiple businesses. I have an 8-year-old son that I'm absolutely obsessed with, and vice versa. We're attached at the hip. I do school pickups, school drop-offs in the morning. I try to spend every evening from the time after school till bedtime with him as much as physically possible. That's my reason. That's why I'm here and doing what I do. It requires a special person or a special opportunity to make me make that conscious decision to say, okay, I'm going to invest some time and effort in with you. And I think from the other person, from the other side, if they're working with me, they know what they're getting. I'm pretty high energy most of the time. I'm focused. I'm creative, you know, in the sense that like, I like thinking outside the box. I like challenging myself. I like challenging others in a fun way. And then again, goes back to being a people pleaser. I take a huge amount of pride being able to help other people because I feel I'm an energy guy. So I feel that what I'm giving out into the universe and into others, I'm getting that in energy and that high vibe back in abundance. And I'm a firm believer in that. So there is a selfish component in there as well for me, where it's like, I'm helping somebody, but I know right around the corner, something big is coming back for me because I'm trying to do the best that I possibly can. And that goes on holding myself accountable too, because then I don't trick myself. If I'm not, then I'm not. And that's okay. That's, you know, I'm not running at Mach 10 all the time. And that's, there's nothing wrong with that. But I recognize that. I don't pretend that I'm running full bore all the time, 24 hours a day and lying to myself. That's, you're always going to get the honesty from me. So you can expect that if you're working with me as well. And if it's not positive coming from me, it will never be, I'll never be coming down on the individual. It would be more on a constructive base. Like, you know, this is kind of what's happening. Maybe we should shift things up, or like ask questions, get in the mindset of the individual and be like, why are we, you know, what made you make this decision, or what deterred you from doing this? Or did you think about this? Ultimately, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter why they didn't do it in the sense that it wasn't done. But if you can understand why they didn't do it, well, then maybe you can learn and start trying to tweak the ways that we can eliminate that from causing it to happen again, if that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense, because I think we bring our histories into any interaction, whether it's early childhood experience, later, you know, later childhood experiences. All of those play a role in terms of how we see ourselves, our self-imposed obstacles to change. And I think it's all important. I think it's important that we take that into account. Excuse me. The other thing, it sounds like you want individuals who are serious about the work, who are going to be willing to understand that change, again, like progress, is not a linear process. There's going to be stops, there's going to be starts, there's going to be fears that you can help individuals get through by normalizing them, help them verbalizing them, and help them find different ways to deal with that. And as long as they're willing to experience all that's going to be a part of personal growth, sounds like working with you will be a very fruitful experience for them.
And that's the hope, right? And this all started from getting unstuck. So on my own personal journeys, you know, there's been times where I felt stuck. I was just, you know, completely lost. And that's one of the worst feelings that I can have, is just feeling unfulfilled and not knowing what I want to do. So that's kind of where a lot of this started, because I didn't have a mentor per se, you know, growing up, but that I could lean on in an entrepreneurial world to help me get there. You know, my dad, he switched jobs a lot and he did run his own company, but it was a lot of contract-based work. I had those characteristics from my mom too. I knew that wasn't necessarily the exact path I wanted to take. So I didn't have that role model, that mentor as an entrepreneur for certain situations on how, like, what do I do? Like, you know, especially dating myself here, like I couldn't just jump on the internet and, you know, and research and read other people's stories as easily, or, you know, jump into an AI, into a ChatGPT and be like, this is where I'm at. Here are all the variables. Like, you know, give me 50 scenarios or 50 circumstances that I could change or improve. It was different back then. So yeah, that's kind of where all this mentorship started. It's not because of where I'm at. It has nothing to do with accomplishments or feeling like I'm in a position of power or just even breathing different air, where we all breathe the same air and bleed the same blood. Like we're all on the same page. It's just, I remember and I know that feeling. I harness that feeling. I use it as motivation. And if I could help somebody get out of that feeling, well, then that's where the mentorship comes for me. If I can help somebody feel, you know, just help them out in any way, shape, or form to make them feel that much better, then that's kind of what my job is. My job's not to get them to the finish line, a successful entrepreneur, making a boatload of money, you know, buying yachts, this, that, and the other. That's not what the point is. The point is, how can I help somebody that maybe have been from a similar situation that I've been, or something that I can relate to? How can I help them improve?
Define success on their own terms.
Correct. That's the whole point. You're an entrepreneur. You got to find success on your own terms.
Absolutely. And abundance can look different depending on the individual you're talking to. And there are many categories to abundance, and just not monetary. So the mantra of this podcast is, we're all students and teachers, so let's learn from each other. So in that light, Sean, what are the most important things that your clients have taught you about yourself as a person and as a mentor?
Can you run that by me again, please, Dave?
I sure can. What is the most important thing your clients have taught you about yourself, both as a person and as a mentor?
Oh, that's a good question. The most important. Well, I think it's humbling in a sense that you do realize really quick that there's a lot of things that you don't know. So I think from working with different individuals, like I said, is understanding you don't know what you don't know, but there's so much room to grow and to learn. And I think that gets reflected on me in a really positive way. When I'm working with somebody, especially from a field that I'm not involved in, I'm learning from them. I can help with mindset. I can help with, you know, an action plan. But with the actual product and the actual business that they're creating, remember, like, that's something that 9 times out of 10, I don't know really anything about it. And even if I do, I'm likely not going to know the same amount as the individual that I'm working with. So I think that's probably one of the most enjoyable things about working with people, is that I get to learn about their business model, their product, whatever they're trying to do. I get to learn kind of the back end of that and become a bit of a sponge from them. So even if I'm helping direct them where they need to go, at the same time, they're basically acting as an educator to me, the student, even though we're not putting that out there. You know, we're not necessarily looking at the situation like that, but that's what it is. They're the expert. So I'm learning. So I think that's part of the thing, is because I'm growing at the same pace, if not more, than the person I'm working with. Like I said, I'm absorbing everything they've got and the knowledge that they're putting down on where they want to get to. And then really, I'm just trying to help them out. I'm just trying to help them to get somewhere.
And you're right. You know, we don't know everything. Nobody knows everything. No one person does, but together we can come close. And if we can establish ourselves as a community that can benefit from each other's presence, we've created a community of learning that's going to benefit everybody. And outside of that community, that will benefit everybody, because we'll take those shared lessons. And again, as you mentioned, put out positive vibes, put out a positive impact in the world, which is likely going to come back to us individually and as a community. So
that's right. And to go on that, Dave, sorry to cut you off, but on the personal life side, if I'm working with somebody new, we have an organic relationship. It's authentic. We're on, you know, we're kind of on the same wavelength, or at least getting there, and I'm learning and I'm helping, you know, it's kind of the same way that I see my son at the park, right? Like, my son is very happy-go-lucky, very friendly guy. And something that he has that I didn't have is he's very, very quick to make friends with strangers. And I think personally, that's a really cool thing. And it's like the mentorship stuff is that on the personal side, it's like, I just made a friend, right? Like, we're working together. We're doing this. Again, there's no exchange in terms of monetary value. It's an exchange of information, an exchange of energy for all the right reasons on a positive side. It's not forced. It's not a business transaction. It's a genuine relationship. I probably feel the same way that he does when he comes home from the park. And he's like, I'm like, man, like I connected with somebody cool today that I wouldn't have connected with, maybe not any other way, and just made a friend. That's a good day.
Yeah. And any day that we can develop the basis for a good relationship, ongoing relationship, is always a good day. Because relationships, I think, abundance in relationships are key. And if we don't have abundance in relationships, it's going to be hard to have abundance in any other things in our lives. For me, that's just my own perception. But one of my last questions for you today, I know you left us with one takeaway already, as far as we don't know everything, that one person knows everything, we need to learn from each other. Is there any other takeaway that you want to leave our audience with today that will be helpful for them in their journeys?
I think it's just things like that within that entrepreneurial spirit and certain non-negotiables for my personal journey. So I think one of them is what goes back to that self-belief. You really have to have that self-belief, and you don't necessarily have to have it right off the start, but you do have to be conscious that that is something that a characteristic that you do or you should develop, you know, as quickly as you can, and hold yourself accountable that way. So, you know, if something doesn't go right, we're not making excuses and putting blame on somebody else. But when things do go right, they come right back on you. Connecting the dots backwards is a big one for me as an entrepreneur, especially when you're feeling stuck. You're trying to map things out and you feel like you don't know what the next step is. Start at the end goal and try to work your way back and narrow that gap. That's a big one. And then probably the most important one for me over the last couple of years, and I've noticed a massive change in the trajectory of my businesses and my life in general. Like I mentioned, I am a people pleaser by nature. The power of saying no. So, you know, we often hear about the power of saying yes. The power of saying no for me was a game changer. If you do find yourself people pleaser, that's something that was not easy for me to develop, but I really had to dig my heels in on it. And the power of saying no. And what I mean about that is, you know, I'm fortunate enough to be at this stage in my life, but I wasn't always there. If I'm invited to something, whether it's through friends for a hangout, whether it's a business thing, whether it's a business proposal that comes across my desk, a new lucrative venture or whatever it is, if I'm not feeling it, if I'm not 100% invested in it in terms of passion and my mentality on it, I don't do it. I don't do anything money driven. I don't do anything for clout or to look cool anymore. Driven on my desire to want to do it. Where I feel that that has the most value, especially with people that I do work with on the mentoring side, it also translates to hangouts with my friends, is that if I'm with you, same goes for this right now, Dave, we're on this chat together. There, if I wasn't feeling it, then I wouldn't do it. I would politely and respectfully decline. The power that this holds is that anything that I'm doing at any given time, I'm basically there 100%. For example, right now, there's nowhere in the world that I would rather be right here, right now, than be talking with you, because otherwise I wouldn't be doing it. And that's right. I think that's a powerful thing for people to grasp. But I'm so aware, I'm in legacy mode right now. So I'm so aware of my surroundings and just a lot of things, especially being a parent, that I have to make sure that whatever I'm doing, I'm 100% there. Otherwise, I'm not doing the right thing.
And I think you're right. You have to be very clear in terms of which experiences are going to feed your soul, which experiences that you are no longer serving your soul that you need to walk away from. Because when something no longer serves you, serves your passion, serves your objectives, serves personal growth, it's time to walk away. It may take a little while, but once we do it, and I can say this from personal experience, it's very empowering. It's very liberating. And it actually builds our confidence, because it shows us that we have confidence to set boundaries, show grace to ourselves, and truly grasp for what we're passionate about.
That's right. And it does open up the opportunity for something bigger and better and a better fit for the individual.
Absolutely. My last question for you, Sean, is if individuals want to get in touch with you, contract for your services, what is the best way for them to do that?
So yeah, two methods. So the first one would be through social media. That's probably the easiest. Instagram is the platform that I personally use the most. I do have a team that handles other socials for me, and some of them I'm not even really participating in at all. But Instagram is one because I do showcase the different businesses, basically all the different sides of me. You're getting me, you know, basically rough and rugged version from being a dad to the music side to being a partner with the professional soccer team here and giving back through the community and then through the real estate side and the building side. So that's the best way because you can get a better insight, a better look through the window as to who I actually am. So then you can potentially make a more informed decision if I'm even a good fit for you to begin with, because I'm not for everybody and I'm totally okay with that. And then, so reaching out through there, and then I do my email. I would probably actually, you know what, we'll keep it at the Instagram because I don't want to start having my email blow up. So let's keep it through there for now.
Sounds good. And all of that information will be in the episode notes when our episode drops on YouTube and my other podcast platforms. And with that, Sean, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to spend with me and my audience. I greatly enjoyed our conversation, and hopefully we can do this again in the future.
Yeah, sounds good, Dave. Thanks again for letting me hop on, and it's been a pleasure, and you know where to find me.
You got it. And with that, that's a wrap on another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts, wishing you peace.